This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, thank you for joining me for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's good to be back. I missed you. I was away. I want to thank Ed Morrissey again for sitting in for me while I was away for a couple days. He always does a wonderful job. It's just great to be able to pray with you. If you want to join me, you know the number. It's 888-914-9149, and we'll pray together. Of course, we always want to lift up our St. Joseph, St. Gabriel, St. Nicholas, Guardian Angel Society members, and all of our listeners and supporters. We'll ask Our Lady Guadalupe intercede for them, and we just pray the Lord hears the prayers we're about to engage in here. I have in the studio with me somebody special, and I got to meet her today. I heard she was in studio. Her name's Maggie Groeschel. She's an associate producer for Ramsey Solutions.
Dave,
I know
Ramsey.
Many of you may love Dave Ramsey, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't? I actually lobbied the network because I thought it would be so great to have a financial show on the network. Yeah. You know, you got Clark, you got Ramsey, you got some of these people out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would go over here, but
let's make it happen.
You know, I was reading something over the weekend, actually. I think it was, the Lord spoke more about money than he did heaven and hell mm-hmm. in the Gospels. He spoke about it more. I think there's like 2,300 references to money in the Bible in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it really, you know, should give people a perspective or at least pause as to, you know, how do you properly look at this? We need money to live,
yeah.
right? But how are you good stewards of it? And you and I were talking off air a little bit earlier about how you went through the Ramsey course twice. What's it called again?
Financial Peace University.
And you've
highly
gone it
recommend.
Twice, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's changed you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think any new couple that's preparing for marriage probably should look into that course.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I should have my wife look into that course. She'll kill me. Because we all do it, don't we?
We all spend
way too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you and I were talking about COVID mm-hmm. and how with COVID, I download all my transactions, you know, when you do your taxes and you can monitor, you spend this much on gas, this much on meals, this much.
Yep.
When I looked at like my meals and entertainment expense, just personally,
and
I'm thinking, oh my Lord, thank God, you know.
Yep.
And I got a son the same thing. He's like, Dad, I can't believe how much money I have. What are you talking about? He says, I'm just not spending it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they were locked down, and you realize how much money you have left over.
We say all the time, manage your money, don't let it manage you.
I love it. I feel like I'm on the show. I need a little counseling here. Jake's saying I'm being schooled. For those who are just joining us, Maggie, fill us in. I mean, why are you here?
Sure. So one of our employee benefits with Dave's company is a week of ministry time, 5 days that they'll approve you to go somewhere and do some work for someone that needs it. And someone in your office yesterday was like, why did you pick us? And I was like, you know, last year you really helped keep me sane during
That's
the
awesome.
Pandemic. And I've been listening for years. My mom turned me on to Relevant Radio years ago, and I downloaded the app, and even though we've been states away from each other, she's in Wisconsin, I'm in Tennessee, we listen to you as often as we can at 3 o'clock
That's
and
awesome.
Pray together with you. So it's like the distance doesn't matter.
We're all united in prayer.
Yep.
Right? And that's really the beauty of it. No matter where we are. I mean, we have people in Europe right now that are praying with us as well over the mobile app, and I love it. Emails from South Africa, from Asia. We're a family, and I love that. It's good to have you here. Anything you want to lift up or pray for as we begin? Any intentions?
Yeah, please. My dad has been suffering from back pain. He's been having some nerve issues, and he's been really suffering from that. So I want to pray for healing. Yeah.
All right, let's ask for a quick story for you. There was a woman who had osteoporosis, and she was hunched over her kitchen sink, and she was praying with us one day. One of my favorite stories. And we prayed for an intention. Somebody called in and had back problems like that. And we prayed for anyone with orthopedic problems. And she said as she began to pray the chaplet, she really trusted the Lord. She felt a heat just race down the back of her spine and throughout her body. And it was like she was rejuvenated. She says, I stood up straight for the first time in years. Then I dropped to my knees to thank God. She went to the doctors.
Wow.
Doctors had no explanation for what happened to her bronchitis. Well, I know what happened, right? It was God. So God can do all things. One of my colleagues came in here. Jim, I'm praying for your wife. He says, could you pray today for Erin? She's got a PET scan. And we're hoping that it shows that the treatment is keeping the cancer in check. So let's pray not only for good results from that PET scan, but let's pray for healing for all those with cancer. And my producer, Tom, passed on an email for you, Mary, if you're listening, for Jerry. It's her sister. She's COVID and is in the hospital and has been on a ventilator for a while now. They did a scan. I'm not quite sure what kind of scan. So they could take her off the vent. And they found a lot of lung damage, and that's an awful byproduct so often of COVID. So let's ask for restoration of the pulmonary system, respiration problems, and for lungs. And Patrick, I'll let you squeeze in here real quick, too.
I want to pray for Drew Mariani because it was his 40th birthday on Sunday.
Oh, I wish I was only 40. Good job, Patrick.
Happy birthday.
Making me a little younger than I am. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Patrick, for remembering. And both of you guys, thanks for sending me the texts. While I was away, it was great. Yeah, I missed you on my birthday, but I prayed. It was this past Sunday. I like to brag a little bit. I was born on the Feast of Divine Mercy.
No.
Yes, I was. Years and years ago.
How appropriate.
So, isn't that cool? And Jake saying my initials are DM. I just wrote a book, and I think many people are now getting it. So if you've gotten it, congratulations. If you haven't, it'll come in May. That's the next printing run, so it was yours. But let's pray. We'll pray for you and for all of your needs and Maggie, in particular, for your father. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, we'll go to San Diego first. Pat is listening there. Hi, Pat. Thanks for praying with us today.
Hi, Drew, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would love prayer for a woman by the name of Becky in Idaho who has what's called hemolytic anemia and out of nowhere got terribly sick, had to end up in the hospital and with her kidneys not functioning and now is on dialysis 3 times a week and they just don't know what they're going to do about it. She's in really bad shape. Anyway, she's in Idaho, and for the departed souls of Nora and Gus Jr., for the banishment of addictions from my family and friends,
Amen.
For the return of all the fallen away Catholics in our family to come back because there's a ton of them,
Amen.
And for the conversion of my other family and Amen. Friends to become Catholic, especially my husband.
Great prayers. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for you. There are such important prayers. I know every family is touched by the need for conversion of loved ones or addiction or health problems. And Lord, you heard all of Pat's intentions. We pray in particular for those with renal problems, those with kidney issues right now, those with anemia. But I really do ask that the grace of conversion reach those souls who do not know you. And I know that this prayer is always heard and answered. And I do pray for freedom from addiction. I've seen this chaplet break the chains of addiction. From alcohol to heroin. And I thank you for that. And I just pray for those who really are in need of your mercy in this hour as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Bruce is listening in Fontana, California. Hi, Bruce. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm praying for my adopted mother, who we named our son after, but she's having neuropathy problems and a little problem with possibly her kidneys and carpal tunnel or something. Or, okay. But I want to lift her up because she's one of the God. I mean, if there ever was a modern-day Virgin Mary, this lady's it. I mean, she was in our wedding. She was with our kids. We're a blind couple. Well, I'm doing the medical research, but she's been praying for me since, so I want to lift her up.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Let's pray for you and for your family and your wife, and we'll pray for this beautiful adoptive mother in your life. And again, so often we hear repetitive themes that come up, and we pray for the kidneys. Again, and Lord, I just ask for those waiting for test results or who are having tumors on their kidneys or waiting for transplants. So I just give you right now those souls most in need of your mercy, that you heal those particular issues. But I do pray for anyone with health issues as Bruce just laid these out, and I ask in a particular way that you hear his prayers. I unite them to Maggie's and mine and all who now cry out to you, and I just ask for those graces that we need, Lord, to reach us. Hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we go to Houston, Texas. I was just there. Hey, Julie, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you, Julie.
I would just like to keep those two as siblings, a boy and a girl, ages 7 and 9, who sadly were pulled off life support this morning. They drowned a few days ago in a pool accident, and they are the only two siblings to their parent, or two children to their parents.
So,
and it's just a very tragic situation all around. And I can't even imagine how devastating to the family.
So,
I just want to keep.
Are they still alive,
the,
Julie?
You know,
are they alive, or did they, when they were taken off support, God called them home?
I heard this morning that they passed away. They were thankfully in a Catholic hospital.
Wow.
And they were, you know, running all the tests, and there was no brain activity the other day. And an article came out in the local paper.
Wow.
Announcing that they had died.
Wow.
And that there is going to be an investigation. So, you know, that means that they got pulled off this morning, I'm assuming.
All right, well, let's pray for the parents in particular. I'm sure those beautiful children are with God. They're so innocent. And Julie, thank you. I want to pray for you, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pray for all your needs. I appreciate your intercession for the family. And, like, it's one of the great mysteries of life, suffering and seeing something like this happen to a child, so hard to get your head around. And Lord, I ask for those who mourn today, those who've lost loved ones through tragedy, through accident, through acts of violence, through cancer, through disease, whatever it may be. And I pray for the souls of those who've gone before us in particular, all those purgatorial souls. But I also pray for those who mourn, especially for a parent to lose a child. It goes against the natural order of life, and it's so hard to get your head around. So I lift up Julia, and I lift up all those who suffer this type of loss. I want to pray for those who have suicidal ideations right now, too. For the parents and siblings and loved ones, spouses who've lost those they care about through suicide. I just, Lord, ask you to intervene in this moment for that, and for that mother contemplating abortion as well, that she may understand how valuable life is, that it's not a curse, it's not a privilege, but it's a gift. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Mary's listening in California. A lot of California calls today. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have three intentions. I have a granddaughter that's trying to buy a home, but she always gets outbidded. I have a grandson that's looking for a job. And then, especially for me, I have a lot of medical problems that I can't seem to keep under control. And also, I would like to be, I've been praying to St. Joseph to help me find a handyman. I'm 91 years old, and I need desperately help with my home.
God bless you.
And I thank you for taking my call, Drew.
Mary, I'm going to pray hard for you, okay? I'm going to knock on St. Joseph's door as well, all right? I'll be praying for you tonight. I have a beautiful image of St. Joseph, my home, a beautiful piece of art. And my wife and we have a devotion, and we pray every day to him. And I will pray for that handyman. I love the story of the Santa Fe staircase, you know, and where St. Joseph, I really believe he showed up and did that for those nuns who were in need. So let's all pray for Mary right now. We'll pray in particular for this handyman that she needs. And Lord, I ask you give her health and blessing and protection. We do pray for her granddaughter and her grandson and for all the other intentions that she voiced as well. And you know, I know God hears these prayers. You know, I'm convinced of that. The Lord told Saint Faustine, he says, encourage souls whom you come in contact to trust in my mercy. How I love their confidence in me, he says. I'll do everything for them. And Mary, I know you are a trusting soul, so I'm going to join you right now. Lord, we thank you for the way you're answering prayers for those who are crying out to you, and in particular for Mary. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Medina, listening in Crest Hill, Illinois. Medina, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. God bless you for taking my call. I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so
and,
much.
And God bless you.
Thank you
God
so
God bless
much.
You for doing the station. And I want to tell you that my mom passed away Thursday night at 12 p.m. Yeah,
I'm
and
sorry.
My father passed away 6 months ago.
Oh, no.
So
no.
It's a lot of grieving in one shot. And I need prayers for my brother, Manuel, who's suffering from his back pain, nerve pain. And for my brother, who's drinking alcohol. He's not doing well because of my mom gone. So I'd like to pray for him, too.
Well, let's pray for you. I know your pain. I've lost, between my wife and I, we lost our two mothers and a father in about 77 days. So went to three funerals. You know, to lose a parent is a very difficult thing in a short time. My heart goes out to you. I want to pray for anyone battling addiction. Again, this theme of chronic pain, neuropathy. I lift that up. And Lord, I just give you the intentions of everyone that's on hold with us now, everyone who has written to us, and everyone who is now crying out to you. In particular, I give you those who mourn to lose a mother in less than a week ago is so difficult. So Lord, I just ask that you bring consolation and mercy to Medina especially. But I bring to you all of your children now before the foot of the cross of your divine Son. Read our hearts, and in your mercy, hear and answer us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin, most powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you souls in purgatory.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints. Pray for us.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Maggie, great to pray with you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for volunteering.
Thank you.
I want to hear more about your music. Maybe we'll talk about that when you join me again. She's a singer-songwriter, so say a prayer for her, too. I'll be right back. We got a lot to talk about today, so stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Here at the Drew Mariani Show, we don't wave a political flag. We wave the Catholic flag.
Yeah, that's right.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's always good to pray with you. It's always good to take a look at life with you as well. And I got to tell you, I've seen some crazy stories. And I do want to talk about these because I think we need to bring truth and rationality to some of the irrational and very distorted ideologies that are now being promulgated, such as critical race theory in schools. You know, back in the day when I went to school, you know, I went there to learn about things. You know, you learned how to read, to do math, you know, where foreign places were. You learned your geography. You learned your history. All the basics, right? You went to school to learn. Now, fast forward, right? You go from the, 60s, the 70s, 80s, all kinds of different educational theories started to be proposed, right? A lot of strange things like open classrooms were developed as experiments, and a lot of material about things like grammar. It got dumbed down from previous times, and the memorization of things like the times tables, that wasn't as strongly pushed anymore. I mean, in fact, today, I mean, look at some of this new math. I'm not a teacher, so I got to be careful about it because maybe some people love this new math. But the basic of the aim of education was pretty much the same as it had been for centuries, right? You teach the children what they need to know to get through life. You give them the basics, the foundations. You learn 2 + 2 = 4. You move on from there. But that's not how education is seen today. Back in the day, culturally responsive teaching, it meant, you know, Max Eden put it at the City Journal. He said this, he says, finding elements in students' diverse backgrounds that could be used as hooks to bring them closer to the spirit of E Pluribus Unum, right? E Pluribus Unum, as you know, is a very famous Latin phrase, right? I'm zoning out right now. We're one people, I think, right? We're Adam Any One is what it means, E Pluribus Unum. I almost named a book I was writing on the moral vote that I thought about. That might be a cool title, right? Out of Any One. That's a great title for somebody writing a book on immigration, E Pluribus Unum. You know, today that's not what it means. I mean, the Department of Education came out with a proposed rule last week that's going to force schools to basically adopt what is known as critical race theory. And it's now a norm for things to be taught. And if, for short, it's CRT. You probably heard that thrown around, right? It's a theory that's dominating the media narrative. And you're going to hear more about it. And I want to get you up to speed on what it's all about today. So when you hear it, you'll be informed as to what people mean by it and what you need to know. You're going to hear about it when it comes to things like policing. You're going to hear about it when it comes to topics like reparations. So that old approach to diversity is no longer in vogue because, as one educator put it, it meant, you know, assimilation by dominant systems and ideologies. Really? Let me share a quote I just saw here. Let me see if I can find it. Here's the quote I saw before the show. It said, this is again what this educator said, assimilation by dominant systems and ideologies which centered on Anglo-European, Christian, Judeo, cis hetero male whiteness as a normative reference point. Can somebody tell me what that means? Hello? Really? Should I repeat that? I'm not even going to repeat it. I mean, it's just such a waste of airtime. But this is the time in which we're living. This is what our kids are being exposed to. This is what we've got to deal with. Gosh, Christopher Rufo, he was from the Discovery Institute. He was on Tucker Carlson, and I want to share what he had to say about critical race theory. He claims it invaded the government. But before I play that, I'll share with you the CEO of the John Lackey Foundation, Amy Cook. She railed against this push to indoctrinate kids, students, with really what is woke ideology. Thank God I'm not in school right now. I'm glad my kids are now out of school. How can math, can somebody explain to me how math can be racist, right? What's math have to do with it? Well, listen, math is now being labeled as racist. Check this out.
Is it racist to expect black children to be able to know and be able to show that 2 + 2 = 4? Or that 7 × 5 = 35. Is it racist to require a black child to come up with the precise, correct math answer? That's a question that black professor John McWhorter asked recently, and you can find it on his blog site. He calls it bears mentioning. In our post-June 2020 world, there's a new document making rounds in the educational industrial complex titled, A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction, Dismantling Racism in Mathematics Instruction. McWhorter highlights what this document claims is apparent racism and white supremacy in how we've been teaching math to black students. For instance, teaching math in a linear fashion with skills taught in sequence is racist. Valuing procedural fluency, such as knowing the steps to calculate fractions and long divisions, is racist. Requiring students to show their work is racist. And requiring students to raise their hand to be called on just reinforces paternalism and power hoarding. Now, students across the globe, in the poorest of country, these students learn math. They learn precise math. Math with an answer. The right answer.
You could talk reparations. You could talk, you know, all these different issues that are out there. And okay. But math, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. How does that become racist? But listen to this too. Here's one other story. My wife pointed this out to me over the weekend. She saw a news report where Virginia, the state of Virginia, is moving to eliminate all accelerated math courses before the 11th grade. Why? Well, it's all part of an equity-focused plan. I mean, does that make any sense to you? You know, let's get rid of accelerated math courses for those gifted students who can really sharpen those skills, who can really grow. We can stretch them. You know, they are what they're going to be the future mathematicians, the scientists, the doctors, the people at NASA, whatever it may be, right? I mean, no. We can't help them. We can't do that. You can't have an accelerated math course. It's not fair to somebody who's not as gifted at math. How are you at math? Were you great at math? You know, would you have liked to have had that accelerated class? Or maybe you're saying, man, math was, I hated math, right? Math wasn't for me. Well, we got to pump the brakes on everyone else, right, who might have a gift and aptitude for mathematics. That's good for our country, right? It's good for us. But no, we can't do that. You know, the Virginia Department of Education, they're moving to eliminate it, all accelerated math options prior to 11th grade. You know, I'd rather have my kid in that accelerated class so that he can be better prepared for college, right? They're effectively keeping higher-achieving students from advancing as they normally would in the school system. Does that make any sense to you? They're planning that this initiative is going to eliminate all math acceleration prior to the 11th grade. And this is not an exaggeration. It doesn't appear either to be, you know, there doesn't appear to be any discretion in how the local school districts will implement this. You know, to me, America should be up in arms. We should be screaming about this. You know, the plan for implementing these ideas in various schools, it's unclear, but why you would want to do that, it makes no sense. But look, as we said, we're seeing this everywhere. We are seeing this, you know, this critical race theory. We're seeing, you know, the putting limits so everything is equal and fair on everything from mathematics to reparation. Let me share with you Christopher Rufo of the Discovery Institute. As I said, it was on Tucker Carlson. And it's not just schools. It's the government. He goes on how critical race theory has now even invaded our government. Check this out.
This is something I've been investigating for the last 6 months, and it's absolutely astonishing how critical race theory has pervaded every institution in the federal government. And what I've discovered is that critical race theory has become, in essence, the default ideology of the federal bureaucracy and is now being weaponized against the American people. I'd like to share investigations that I've unleashed that show the kind of depth of this critical race theory, occult indoctrination, and the danger and destruction it can wreak. First, the Treasury Department. I broke the story on the Treasury Department, which held a seminar earlier this year from a man named Howard Ross, a diversity trainer who has billed the federal government more than $5 million over the past 15 years, conducting seminars on critical race theory. And he told Treasury employees essentially that America was a fundamentally white supremacist country. And I quote, virtually all white people uphold the system of racism and white superiority, and was essentially denouncing the country and asking white employees at the Treasury Department and affiliated organizations to accept their white privilege, accept their white racial superiority, and accept essentially all of the baggage that comes with this reducible essence of whiteness.
You might be wondering, how did we get to this point, huh? How did we get here? In just a moment, Dr. Teresa Farnan is going to be stopping by. We'll give you the answer to that. But Jake, you said you just got an email to the show account. What's Ed saying?
Yeah, good point from Ed. He just said, hey, I beg to differ the fact that they're saying math is racist. I mean, look at, he brings up Katherine Johnson, who was a mathematician at NASA. There's a really good movie, Drew. I don't know if you've seen it, but the movie Hidden Figures highlights her life, Creola Katherine Johnson. So anyone looking for a good movie, check out Hidden Figures. But it just shows, like, she was a black person who, you know, rose through the ranks at NASA and completely,
why wouldn't you want somebody who's got an aptitude for mathematics to to have that fostered and to excel. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? You know, it's racist. It's not fair. Other people can't have the same accelerated class. You're going to do the same thing to people with musical talent. You're going to do the same thing with people who have other aptitudes. It's nonsensical. You know, the DOE right now wants to completely, what they want to do right now, and we talked about this in the past, the 1619 Project from the New York Times. I don't know if anyone remembers that. But teaching our nation's history, that's terrible too. And I want to get into that with you. I want to get to my guest, though. I got to stop talking so much. I want to get to her because I want her to sound off on this. But they want an identity safe environment, right? And it doesn't mean that teachers would treat members of the class equally, no matter what their color or identity is, because according to this book that's now being proposed, the rules cite that teachers who do that are inadvertently creating an unsafe environment. I'm like, what? We're living in a crazy time. I'm joined right now by a very gifted author and moral philosopher who specializes in virtue ethics and moral education and philosophy. We've spoken to her about everything from gender and sexuality to ethical issues, and she wrote a book. She co-authored it, actually. It's entitled Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. It's good to have back Dr. Teresa Farnan. And Doctor, thank you for your time. It's always good to have you help us make sense of what to me is insanity.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me on. And it is insanity, but it's more insidious than that. It really is an attack on the very foundations of our country and on our existence as a society, understanding a society as a group of human beings who share a common good because they share a common homeland. And this is a very, very divisive, thinly disguised form of Marxism that seeks to pit Americans against each other. And along the way, it is getting a lot of, not a lot of people, but getting some people very, very rich and covering up for the incompetence and the corruption of organizations like our teachers' unions.
So is this about money then? People are profiting from this? Is this why this is being proposed?
Yeah, there definitely are people who are profiting off of this. The people who are running around giving diversity seminars are making millions because corporations are bringing them in and they're getting very wealthy. Look at the story recently about the founder of Black Lives Matter who just bought her $4 million home. She's got $4 million of homes in these luxury enclaves around the country, which shocked a lot of people. And oh, by the way, Twitter and Facebook immediately suspended any accounts that were trying to point that out, regardless of whether they were accounts owned by or that were created by black or white users of Twitter. So it really, the criticism, you aren't allowed to criticize these people. But I mean, to really dive into the heart of the matter, Marxism is the philosophy that won't go away. It's a radically materialist philosophy, and it seeks to divide and break our society apart and deconstruct things like the family, number one, first and foremost, so that these children will belong to the state, private property, private enterprise, churches, religion, all of that in order to elevate the power of the state and the corrupt bureaucracy that seeks to run it. And that is exactly what's going on here. They're pitting us against each other based on race. And it's a philosophy that says it's okay to discriminate in favor of one particular group. Now, we had an organization like that in this country, you know, a century ago, and we've roundly rejected that, and that was the KKK. Yep. The whole idea of saying that it's okay to discriminate against Asians, for example, in college admissions in order to elevate other minorities is radically anti-American, and it goes to the heart of what we're talking about. But look, the other thing that's going on here, especially with respect to education, is that we've got failing inner city schools. And rather than take accountability, the teachers' unions and the educational establishment is turning around and pointing the finger at us and saying, it's your fault because our society is systemically racist, rather than looking at themselves and acknowledging that they have been operating a corrupt system. They've been passing kids along regardless of whether or not they achieve proficiency. They're spending, you know, in some cities, 16 $15,000 a year to educate children. Yep. And at the end of the day, these kids are not learning anything. It's just glorified babysitting. But that's the fault of these unions. You can't fire the bad teachers.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Doctor, hold the thought. When we come back, we'll take your calls. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on. If you want to join the conversation, the number's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at critical race theory in our schools right now and everything you need to know.
Proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. It's truth, hope, and a look at life you won't get anywhere else.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. If you are just joining, I'm speaking with Dr. Teresa Farnan, and we're taking a look at some things that have come across my radar. No advanced math until 11th grade. Mm-mm, can't do that, right? No way. We've got to be equal. We've got to be fair for everyone. And we're talking about math being racist. How can something as objective as mathematics be racist? Feds right now are pushing critical race theory, and you're probably hearing a lot about this wherever you are. Max Eden wrote that the Department of Education just made it clear that they're going to promote critical race theory. The Department of Education proposed regulations that eliminate all plausible deniability, they say. I'm quoting them now. Directing civics grant programs to prioritize applications that support development of culturally responsive teaching and learning. Always a mouthful, right? Always a lot of words associated with all this stuff. You've got to be culturally responsive. That's one of the favorite words right now, the radical left wing of critical race theory. And as my guest was pointing out, she says, you know what this really is? And we've had this conversation before. We're seeing this. It's an attack on the family. The attempt is to deconstruct the family, elevate the power of the state. They are pitting us against each other, she pointed out, based on race. That's the battleground today, isn't it? We see what's happening here. And at the very heart of this is something very nefarious, Marxism. And, Doctor, it's good to have you back. Let's jump into the phones. We'll take a few calls. Before we do that, Vivek, just your comment. You and I were talking during the break about math. You said, look, this is the last objective what in terms of education, and they're even going after that. I don't know how you can go after mathematics, but apparently they are.
Oh, sure. But if if you're from the progressive left and you've embraced postmodernism where there is no truth, math challenges that because math is a subject where you're either right or you're wrong. And you can't there's no wiggle room, right? In these calculations, you either know how to do math or you don't know how to do math. So in a lot of ways, this is sort of the third rail for education, both in terms of exposing the issues that we've had with educating kids, especially kids from disadvantaged families, but it also by teaching people critical thinking, by teaching them that there is a right answer, it leads us as citizens in a direction where I think the hard progressive left doesn't want us to go, which is where you become an independent free thinker, you learn to judge right from wrong, and that's antithetical to everything that postmodernism is pushing on us.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, I don't know how people accept this. It doesn't make any sense to a rational mind. I think we need to teach critical thinking. Lily in Wisconsin, you're on the air with Dr. Farnan. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi, Lily.
I just wanted to comment on the current state of teacher education programs. I'm currently student teaching, and it's so unfortunate, but all student teachers and teachers going through teacher education programs right now are being taught critical race theory. And if you have the guts, I guess, to question it at all, you're considered racist.
Wow.
They think you're an incompetent teacher. And unfortunately, just to get through teacher education programs and to be licensed, myself and, other peers who have similar questions to critical race theory have just had to be quiet and kind of accept what they're telling us just to get licensed as a teacher. So I just wanted to kind of point that out. And also, I definitely agree with this book that if people are able to, pulling students out of public education is not the worst idea right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I 100%. That's a fantastic call and a great comment. And you're right. It is so hard to get through these teacher training programs because it isn't by accident that critical race theory has suddenly seemed to blossom in our public schools. It's the result of a decade of hard work in the teachers' colleges getting teachers primed to be able to teach this. So there's a language, there's a vocabulary, there are concepts that go with it. And our teachers, these young teachers coming out of school, they come through progressive universities, then they get this critical race theory in their teacher training, and they play upon your compassion and tell you this is the best way to reach these disadvantaged kids. And so you're right, it's very difficult, and you're not the first person I've heard this from. I've heard this from other people whose kids are going through teacher education or from teachers themselves. The education establishment has just taken a hard left turn, and we need to be realistic about that.
The heart of it is they want to redefine the next generation. This is, as you point out, an attack on the family. Tara in San Antonio, Texas. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm a first grade teacher in San Antonio, and I've been teaching for 16 years. And I know y'all want to have people realize that I'm sure that this is going on maybe in other places, but not all teachers are like that. And to say that teaching is glorified babysitting is not the way to win over hearts in teaching. So, stay away from that language if you want to try to get your point across to teachers. Also, we work very hard at my school. My school is a Title I school, which is disadvantaged students. And we work very hard to make sure things are equal and that we try our best for every student. So just because this may be going on in some places, that does not mean it's going on in every part of the country.
Yeah. I really appreciate that comment, and that's a good reminder. And actually, the phrase glorified babysitting is a phrase that I use because when I was doing research for my book, I pulled some of the resources from Project Baltimore, which was an expose that the local TV station used. And they talked to parents, and that's what the parents expressed, because their kids weren't learning but were being passed on from grade to grade. So that's not intended to reflect anything badly on the teaching profession. Look, I've got people in my family who are teachers. We need teachers. We need great teachers, in fact. And the problem is not, again, this is not, these regulations are not being imposed by teachers, and they're not being pushed in by the teachers who are actually doing the work. Because, I'm very active. I volunteer at my kids' school. The teachers want nothing more than their kids to learn. But there is an education establishment and there is an educational bureaucracy. And when they pass regulations like the regulations in the Virginia Department of Education, pushing towards eliminating tracking and eliminating advanced math classes for kids who are capable, that limits the ability of teachers to be able to do their job. And that's why this is so insidious. It's not the individual teachers. And I'm sorry if I gave you that impression, but it's really a bureaucracy and a system that's set up that not only disadvantages the kids, but it prevents people like you in other places. I'm really happy to hear you're able to do it, but Texas is one of those states that has been really working hard against this, right? So maybe your experience, which should be, and I think would reflect the experience of teachers when I was growing up, your experience should be representative for the entire country, but unfortunately it's not. And we have a lot of kids who have been disadvantaged, not just by the system, but by, not being able to be back in the classroom for an entire year of education. So again, I use that word because that resonated with me, because it was a parent of a special needs kid who was being interviewed by Project Baltimore, who was just at her wit's end because she said, my kid can learn. He's capable of it.
Right.
And yet he wasn't getting what he needed.
Hey, Tara, thanks. Good to hear from you. Great call. Uh-huh. Thanks for teaching. Maria is listening in Las Vegas. Hi, Maria. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon. Math is a very important subject in our family. I pulled aside here on the road to make sure that I ask about the Catholic education. Mm-hmm. I am a brown Asian American. My mother was one of the few women to go to college before the Second World War, and she majored in calculus and minored in physics.
Wow. Phenomenal.
That said, math is very important, and I'm glad my sons have the brains of my mom. Now, I am worried about my grandchildren, ages 17, 12, and 5, and they go to public schools. So should they be pulled out immediately? Because I don't want this kind of nonsense math being taught to them.
Yeah, I honestly, for this, for a lot of reasons, not just the imposition of critical race theory and the dumbing down of the, you know, the watering down of courses and everything else, but in addition, now you have the full embrace of transgenderism by the Department of Education. I don't recommend a public school to anyone, and it's unfortunate because there are a lot of people who rely on it, parents of kids with special needs, people in rural areas. So it doesn't mean that we all abandon the public school system, because we have to keep fighting against this because there are kids who depend on it. But in good conscience, I can't recommend it for anyone because of all of these issues. And you're right, math is the great equalizer. It strikes me as the heart of racism to insinuate that someone can't do math because of their race. And that's, but that's where we are.
Hey, Maria, thank you for pulling over. Thanks for asking. I've got to take a short pause here. We'll be back. Dr. Farnan will be with me. We'll grab a few more calls. I only have her for a few minutes, though. So if you want to get in, here's the number. It's 888-914-9149. If you're just joining, we're talking about critical race theory infiltrating our schools and really our culture. What's it all about? Filling you in on everything you need to know.